Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The dark web is a grim place. A pit where humanity's worst instincts thrive, and it's where I work. I'm what's known as a white hat, a kind of good guy hacker paid to tear down vile markets, map the trails that lead to the monsters hiding in the shadows, and shine a sort of light into that darkness. Most days I sit in front of my screens, the glow of my monitors the only light in my small cluttered apartment as my fingers fly over the keyboard, piercing layers of encrypted filth and exposing secrets no one else dares to look for. It's my job, and it's not for the faint of heart, but I'm goddamn good at it. I've seen horrors beyond imagination, things no one should ever witness, but the case that haunts me started on a day like any other. A routine sweep led to a marketplace buried deep in the web's underbelly. It advertised human lives as commodities, young and old, with glossy images and cold descriptions. I'd seen it before, but this one had a different aura. Polished, professional, and insidiously quiet. A digital fortress, almost daring anyone to try to break in. I remember digging into its code and unraveling the layers of security, sort of like peeling an onion. It was very slow and grueling and frustrating work, and the site had a grotesque elegance to it, its defenses crafted by someone who knew what they were doing. But no system is impenetrable, and by the end of the third day, I was in. The database was rather vast, with entries detailing victims, names, ages, photos, and chillingly precise descriptions of their usefulness.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Each profile was a silent scream, a plea buried in ones and zeros, and I started extracting the data, piecing together patterns and names and connections, and as always, I logged everything meticulously, building a dossier that might help the authorities when I was done dismantling the site. Then I found her, a girl from the Philippines, and she couldn't have been more than 12. Her photo showed a child with wide, frightened eyes and a forced smile. Her profile was detailed in a way that made my stomach churn. And something about her entry stood out, though. An odd note in the metadata, a small breadcrumb someone had left behind. It was a payment log, and it didn't lead to a buyer. It led back to her family. I ran her name through every database I had access to, cross-referencing missing persons reports, social media posts, and news articles. And the trail was faint, but it was there. She disappeared months ago, her last known sighting in a small village. The local news barely mentioned it, and her parents never reported her missing. Instead, their lives had taken a very curious turn. I found pictures of them on Facebook, standing in front of a newly built house. Posts bragging about a blessing that had come their way. Expensive clothes, lavish parties, smiles plastered across their faces, it just didn't add up. Where does a poor family suddenly get that kind of money? The pieces clicked together, a grotesque puzzle I wish that I hadn't solved. They sold her. Their own flesh and blood, handed over to monsters for a better life. I stared at the screen, bile rising up in my throat ready to vomit, and it wasn't just the marketplace. It was the betrayal, the abandonment, the cold calculations that turned a child into currency. I've always kept my work professional, very detached, but this time I couldn't stop thinking about her. She wasn't just a name in a database anymore. She was a girl who had been discarded like trash, her life ripped apart by the people who were supposed to love her most. I dug deeper into her family. Bank records, private messages, anything I could find. Every transaction told a story, and the trail was very damning. The deposit that coincided with her disappearance, the gradual splurge on luxuries, they weren't just complicit. They were thriving off her suffering. The more I uncovered, the more I felt anger creeping in. My work had always been about dismantling systems, not judging individuals, but this felt very personal. Her image haunted me, that forced smile and the terror in her eyes. I just couldn't shake it, no matter how hard I tried. I'd been compiling evidence for weeks, building a case that would hold up under scrutiny, and the authorities would take it from there, and that's how it always worked. But with each passing day, the thought of her family living in comfort while she suffered gnawed at me. They'd bought their happiness with her life. It was just monstrous. One night, as I sifted through the last of the data, I made a decision. I wouldn't just hand over the evidence and walk away. I would make them feel the weight of what they'd done. They couldn't be allowed to forget her, to erase her like she was nothing. I crafted an email, anonymous and untraceable, attaching photos of their daughter from the marketplace, blurred enough to protect her dignity, but unmistakable. I sent it to them with no words, just images. I wanted them to see her, to remember what they'd done. I'll never know if they opened it, but I imagined the guilt festering inside them like a rot. It wasn't justice, but it was something. The marketplace was gone within days, wiped clean from the dark web. My work there was done, and the authorities had the evidence they needed to start tracking that network. But her face has stayed with me, a ghost that I couldn't exorcise. I like to think that she's still alive somewhere, that the system I helped dismantle gave her a chance at freedom. But I know better. The dark web doesn't just let go of its victims easily. Still, I keep working, tearing down one monster at a time, because if I don't, who will?
Hey guys, thanks so much for all the support. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please feel free to do so. This story is about the time when I was a teenager, obsessed over gaming, internet, and online websites. I always searched for new and interesting contents to watch. My parents would often scold me for staying locked inside my room all day. But what can I say, except that I was in the rebellious age, so I never listened to them. I was looking for some new interesting videos to watch after playing a few games, when I came across a website. There were lots of weird and interesting contents. There were also rooms created in which content creators were live, performing all kinds of activities. They set a target amount and then announced the activity. The audience had to send some amount in order to reach the target. Surprisingly, there were many people watching them and sending them money. I was scrolling through the rooms when I saw there was a room which had the more audience than others. I got curious and went there to check. It was a young boy, must be around the age of 19 or 20. He was performing some sort of stunt, and it looked like someone else had the camera. He was climbing down a cliff with a heavy-looking bag. He had grabbed a knife from his mouth, and even after this kind of stunt, his target amount was the lowest among all. And soon after that, I found out the reason behind it. Unlike others, he used to come live two times a day and set the same amount of target as previous one, each time performing some dangerous stunt. It piqued my interest, so I started watching it. Sometimes, I would even send some money to him. Slowly, the level of danger in his stunt kept growing. For example, he would smack himself with a burnt iron rod and then perform the rest of the stunt with that burn. And after that, he would ask the audience that he would raise the target money, and if they want to watch something even more dangerous, including self-harm, they help him reach the target. To my surprise, he met his target every single time, and by the next target, he would increase the amount of the danger. His audience kept growing. And slowly, the people started to place bets among themselves regarding his injuries. For example, if someone bets that he would smack his face and places a large amount of money, and someone else puts money with an even larger sum saying that he would punch himself in his stomach, and he punches himself in the stomach, then the person who placed the bet sends him the money, and therefore, he used to meet his target even quicker. The boy always does what the highest bet was placed upon. Gradually, it stopped being the live stunts and became a self-harming bidding. One day, a man placed a bet that in the next stunt, if he would cut his thumb, then he would send him half the target amount. I could tell by the look on the boy's face that he did not want to do it, but the next day, he cut his thumb and the man sent him the money. At this point, it had stopped being interesting and started becoming creepy. I also stopped watching it frequently and only opened the site when I was extremely curious about what he must be doing. Every time the same man plays used to bet over his body part, and after completion he sent the target amount. But it went even further when one day he placed a bet that if he locked himself in a box full of scorpions, he would multiply the amount from the target one according to the danger. The more life-threatening scorpions, the larger amount it would be. Next day, I opened the site to check if he would actually do it or not. He was in a room. It had a full setup containing various tools which looked like it was specifically designed for something like this. There was a box full of bark scorpions, the most dangerous breed of all. The boy was shivering from fear, but he still went in. A man with a mask came and locked the box. The man sent the money, and the live video ended. The day after, I went to check what sort of stunt he is doing, but he wasn't alive. I waited the entire day, but he didn't come alive again. I kept checking for a few days, but he never did. After asking around the rooms, I found out that he died, and the investigation was going on. I never opened that site after that. Years passed, and I started to focus on my studies, and the amount of time that I spent online kept dropping. The investigation went on, and the identity of the boy was revealed. His name was Austin Graham. He lived in San Benito in the state of California. His parents died when he was just an infant, and his grandmother raised him. When he reached the age of 13, his grandmother passed away as well. The responsibility went under his second uncle Robert and Aunt Rose because other relatives refused to take him in. When he was 18 years old, the lawyer revealed about his grandmother's will. She had named the entire life savings to her grandson. There was a condition in the will. If Austin were to die, her properties would go to charity. 6 months after the will, he started coming live with those stunts. The main suspect were both of his uncles, his aunts, and the only son of his first uncle, Terry. The investigation kept going for 5 years, and finally, I found out through a friend that the police had found the evidences. The boy's second uncle was behind all of this. From the time he took Austin in, he used to beat him and rape him. He never let him make friends and trained him to perform dangerous stunts. Then, when Austin got his grandmother's property instead of him, he got furious and started to beat him even more. He made Austin come live to perform all kinds of dangerous stunts. During interrogation, he confessed that he hated Austin's father for being the favorite son. And when he died, they took Austin in, only to vent his anger and hatred. The reason he taught him all those stunts and showed it live was because he wanted to use him to earn money. He said when the bet was placed, he thought he could kill them without getting blamed for his death. After a long trial, he was found guilty for murdering and assaulting Austin. He got sentenced for 30 years of life in prison, along with a huge penalty, and is currently serving his time there. In the world where internet is the source of everything in daily life, there are parts of internet you will wish you never came to know.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I got to know about this part of the internet when I was working on my assignment project, and I needed a route that isn't easily available in my place. And I was trying to do the nursery and find the route, but no mystery said that they had that. I was asking favors from the guys from the diner that we worked at, and then one of the guys told me that there was a place where I can find them all, but there's a place that I can get whatever I want, and however rare it might be, I could find it there. And then he told me that in order to get that, I could be using a Tor browser. I had no idea what it was. It was the first time. I was not sure that it would be safe, so I told one of the technical friends to help me out with it. And he told me to get another laptop if I don't want my information to a suspicious stranger. And then I found it. I used one of the laptops that I found on Craigslist for $60. And then I started trying to find it. And my friend logged it in carefully. And we started surfing through the dark web, and we reached a place where I could find the root. It was some dealer from Cambodia who was ready to sell use the root, and I was relieved. It meant too much, and then he demanded $1,000 for it. There was no way I was going to pay $1,000 for it. And then my friend, he told me that it's better that we don't surf on here much, and he told me to take the call information and make rest of the deal through the phone, and we did. I was about to call him when my friend stopped and said, "Why do you want to hand out your contact information to a sketchy guy? They'll figure out everything from that. Just call from a payphone." And then we headed out to the payphone and started the conversation about the price negotiation. He was trying to act like he was tough to shake. I told him that $50 is the highest that I will go for it. And then after minutes of negotiation, we agreed on $60. I let him have the last call. I was willing to give him the $100, so I won anyways. It was the route very specific to Cambodia, and I was meant to get the route in 4 days because it was being shipped. And then he later gave me some information about the dropout and where I can pick it up. I had to take it from his cousin Tran in the States. I realized which Tran he was talking about. He lived in our town. When he gave me the address, I was surprised to see that. Tran was in the same class as me. 4 days later, I saw Tran was standing away from his home and onto Miss Park's driveway. He looked suspicious. I knew he was waiting for me, but he did not know what. When I approached Tran, he said, "What are you doing here?" We shook hands and I said, "I'm waiting for someone. You better leave, could be dangerous." And I told him, "No, it's not. I'm the guy you're waiting for. You got the package." And he looked at me and said, "Damn, man, I did not know you played like that. What's in the box?" And I told him that it was the route for a class project, and then he said, "Oh, shit, I totally forgot about that." And then I went on and put $60 out for him to take. And he looked at me and said, "It's $100, big man." And I told him that I had a deal with his cousin and $60. And then Tran said, "US rules here, baby, not Cambodia. You have to give the cut." And I refused, and then he said, "All right, cool with me. I'll keep it and get the grade up on the assignment. So cool, you can go." And that is when I reeled in and said, "Fine, take $100, just give me the root." I wasn't going to go through all that and not get my grades better. He took the $100 and went back to his house. Next day, we met again in the school. It was time to submit our reports and everybody was coming forward. And then Tran and me submitted together. I saw him submitting just the picture of the root with a write-up. And then I did. It was a step up in the game, as I was going back thinking of myself as some kind of winner. The teacher called me out and said, "Why, where did you get this root from? You were supposed to paste a picture of it, not the real root. Do you know how far away it is from its ecosystem?" The teacher went on to lecture me for a whole hour, and the whole snickering away over my try-hard attitude, and especially Tran, who got to make $100 out of this.
In the weeks after the death of my brother, I found myself looking for comfort on the internet. Around 4 months had passed and I discovered a forum created for twins dealing with the grief of losing their other twin. Whether from ending their own life or illness, thousands across the world were brought together for this one singular purpose. I admit I was somewhat shy about posting and remained a bit of a lurker. However, as I became more comfortable with the community, I grew into a daily poster and was able to befriend many on the forum. A select few of these people and I became very close and did much to help one another to work through our grief. One member, a girl who said she was from Montana, probably did the most of all to help me move forward. She had lost her twin sister in a similar circumstance, just as I had my brother, and had a specific insight many others in the forum did not. It was not long until her and I were confessing our deepest secrets to each other, and it was very nearly as if I hadn't lost my twin at all. You may ask why I would tell a complete stranger all my deepest and darkest secrets. I suppose the anonymity was the reason. Even if the person knows or thinks they know all about you, they still don't know your true identity and location. That aspect of the internet gives you carte blanche to bare your soul to a person you're confident doesn't know the true you. The connection we formed over my time on the forum was the best thing that could have happened to me at the time. However, my confidence in my anonymity and comfort with this person would ultimately come back to bite me and make my life on the internet and outside of it complete torture. It was an average ordinary morning when I discovered my friend's true face. I fired up my computer and opened my mail only to be overwhelmed by a barrage of angry and vicious messages. As I scrolled through each one, it soon became clear what was happening. Someone very close to me had dumped all my terrible secrets onto the forum and wider internet. I tried to deny it to myself for a long time who the identity of the person was, but I was eventually forced to face the facts. Apparently, my supposed friend on the forum had told everyone there some of my private feelings towards my dead brother and the way in which he chose to end his life. We all have those opinions or feelings we keep to ourselves because we know they wouldn't be popular with those around us. I never said anything terrible or anything like that, but most of my words surrounded my anger toward my twin. I probably could have phrased some of them better, but that's the fatal flaw of the internet. Without context or hearing the person's tone of voice, things can get lost or misconstrued. Over a short time, the situation would become far worse. The threatening messages started. People I had once called friends were now threatening my life. It wasn't just online, either. The messages were soon coming to my phone. This fact only proved to cement her guilt, since she was one of the very few who had my number. The most terrifying aspect of the phone messages was that many knew my real name and address. This was when I truly came to fear for my life. I'd become a bawling and panicking mess. When I would finally sum up the courage to confront her about this, the pieces would all begin to fall into place. Her written reply laid it all out clearly. I had foolishly walked right into the clutches of a person who hated me and my family. My friend, all these months, turned out to be the drug-addicted ex-girlfriend of my brother. In my opinion, she was one of the major reasons he took his life, and my family agreed, which is why we had barred her from the funeral and anything taking place that day. She swore she'd get back at us, and boy, she did. Apparently, she had been on the forum one day and guessed who I was. Just to be sure, she pretended to be a bereaved twin and started to suck up to me. Once it became obvious that I was who she thought I was, she saw it as an opportunity to get her revenge. In hindsight, things were starting to make more sense. She'd always been a bit pushy when trying to get me to tell her a secret. To make me more comfortable, she'd tell me something, which we all know now was a load of BS, and I would always fall for it. All through her message, it was clear she had no remorse for what she had done. In fact, upon hearing of the many threats in my life, she decided to push things along by doxing me. What she hoped to happen had, and she was very pleased by the result. This final message was the last time I'd heard from her. No replies would come to my following emails, and soon after, I'd be forced to get a new address. After I spoke with my family and our lawyer, I took their advice and got rid of all my prior connections. This included having to move to a new place. I was, and still am, concerned about the remainder of my family. Although my brother's ex was able to get her revenge on me, the rest of them were assumed to still be in danger. My father assured me that they would be fine, and from all appearances, he may be correct, at least for now. I had stepped away from the internet for almost 9 months and am just now beginning to dip my foot back into the pool. Naturally, I will never return to the forum in which all these problems spawned. Even though I've not yet had any run-ins with anyone from there, I will never again expose myself to the level of being identified. Even the account from which this story has been sent is a one-time use throwaway. So if any of those coming across this story may have any questions, I'm sorry. None will be forthcoming anytime soon, and certainly not from this account. If there's anything you can take away from this mishap, perhaps it is a lesson of caution. I and many others have discovered to our detriment how big of a sewer the internet can be. Like the sewer, there lurk many rats. On the internet, the rats are waiting in hiding to destroy others. Many have no reasons. They're just evil. I suppose I'm trying to advise you all to be careful and remember that no one on the internet is really your friend unless you know them in real life. And although many perils linger there, the internet is not real life.
I've been hugely into online gaming for as long as I can remember. As many others might testify, beating your friends on split-screen Mario Kart was fun.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But beating some faceless stranger on Age of Empires 2 has a legit rush. Like, I always imagined it was some super smart older kid and getting their butt handed to them by me, the 10-year-old tactical genius. And the whole thing kicked off a love affair with online games that stayed strong ever since. But the past 8 years or so, my game of choice has been Counter-Strike Global Offense. Being a sweaty FPS veteran, I played the first game a whole bunch and was super excited to get to grips with its successor. When I got my hands on it, I was hooked. And over the years, I moved from clan to clan, playing with an ever-shifting international group of people until I settled on the clan. And now it's run by his husband and a wife pair in their 40s. And they generally keep the whole operation running smoothly and drama-free. Hence why it's been my steady clan for the past couple of years. I say generally because there was one quite significant incident involving another clan member that had a significantly negative impact on my life. So there's this one particular girl that I used to play with quite regularly who had the username K9 Disclaimer. Not her exact username. I just don't want her to hear me telling about the story so she can't find me again. At first, Kay actually seemed really cool, and judging from her profile picture, pretty cute too. She was exactly the kind of girl I'd been crushing on back before I was married. But since I was with Lena, all that kind of stuff was totally off the cards, and the relationship we had was entirely platonic. My whole life was going swimmingly for a while. And I was very happy, right up until my wife decided that she wasn't so happy, and that she was going to file for divorce. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I had no idea she was so unhappy with our marriage, and as much as she insisted it wasn't me that she had her own issues going on, I still blame myself. Add on to that the fact that she would be seeking full custody of our 3-year-old daughter. I was broken. I sank into the pit of drinking and stayed up super late, losing myself in single-player stuff because I just couldn't face interacting with people. I did make an effort to keep the clan updated, like I didn't want them thinking that I died or ghosted or whatever. So I told them about the divorce and how I wasn't feeling so hot. They were super supportive, and I'll always remember that. And they had the presence of mind give me the time and space that I needed to get myself together again. All but one K9, like I said, K was just my type, and I know that there was a slight chemistry between us, but in the aftermath of getting such horrible news, I was in no mood to contemplate dating again, and I knew I wouldn't be getting back on that horse anytime soon. But K didn't see it that way. Apparently, and over the following weeks showed herself to be anything but the friend that I needed right now, as she once put it. It started off all innocent, getting my real name off a mutual friend so she could wish me well on Facebook. It was an unexpected intrusion, but not entirely unwelcome one. She was worried. I got that. So I let her know I was in a bad place. But then I was dealing with it. The conversation was amicable. She sent me a friend request that I had no problem accepting. Then, that was that. Or so I thought, anyway. What started as a few gentle inquiries quickly turned into something totally overwhelming. After a week or so of getting messages from K9, the tone had gone from kind and understanding to weirdly accusatory. A perfect example of this is when she messaged me something like, "I want to hear more from you," or "hear from you is only making me feel worse. Need to understand that your actions have an effect on those around you." Now, this is like one of the lowest points of my life, and she's sending me messages like that. It didn't just make a depressing situation all the more draining. It actually turned a switch in me, and I started to feel anxious and angry towards her. This is about the time I would just started ducking her messages entirely. I didn't need that kind of drama in my life. I had enough on my plate as it was. The next escalation came when my soon-to-be ex-wife called one morning, presumably to talk about some depressingly tedious aspect of her upcoming divorce. Only, it wasn't the divorce that had prompted her call. It was something else entirely. She started off the call by asking who in God's name is insert K9's real name, and she sounded livid. I remember just sitting there in shocked silence for a moment, neurons firing my brain as I pieced all together in a matter of seconds. Except, in K9's friend request meant that she had access to every one of my Facebook contacts, a type of privacy I never really thought of previously, which obviously included all of my close friends and family, along with my soon-to-be ex-wife. I tried to explain that K was someone I played CSGO with, and some innocent explanation, but I knew what was happening. K had obviously been in touch with my wife, and whatever message she'd sent, it definitely not been friendly. But far from being friendly, K's messages have been downright abusive, and from my wife described, straight up threatening in several places. She said she'd be in touch with the police to file a complaint. But how that wouldn't be necessary, fine, just kept my freaking mouth shut. So now, not only is K not helping things, she's actively making things worse. And what's more, her behavior is reflecting badly on me too. As my ex's divorce lawyer would most definitely use her messages in any kind of custody battle, so for the first time in about a week, I reached out to Kay to ask her to stop what she was doing. It was a well-worded, polite message, which I actually redrafted to make it sound as non-confrontational as possible. But still, she took it terribly. She tries calling using the messenger feature, and that won't pick up. And she just bombards me with apologies at first, confessing her love until her mood switched and her tone got decidedly nasty. I don't want to go into too many details, but what she said, it was long-winded, drawn-out, and thoroughly upsetting. But let's just say a lot of it involved my crumbling marriage and my ability as a father, something that really hit home at the time. I was heartbroken, but I had the wherewithal to do the right thing and just cut K out of my life. I blocked her on Facebook, Discord, and Steam, and foolishly think she's gone for good, and that I can do my grieving in peace and get back to online gaming when I feel good and ready. Literally about a month later, boom, the pandemic happens. I don't mean to make light of a horrible situation, but the whole work from home thing was exactly what I needed. I could do my homework in my own space, and I didn't have to suffer through having to go into public during my post-divorce stubble and hangover periods. Naturally, working from home meant Zoom calls galore. I don't think many people have even heard of Zoom before the pandemic, but now, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who hasn't. Just imagine owning stocks in Zoom pre-COVID. He'd be Scrooge McDuck-style rich right now. But anyway, One afternoon, I'm in a Zoom meeting with my head of department and a few of my coworkers. There's no real agenda. We're just kind of rambling about a new project we were working on, doing it more for the social contract than anything. It's a chill meeting, but I am psyched about the project. Upper management eyes won't be all over it when it's completed, and given it's my brainchild, my name is going to be all over it. When all's said and done, I can be in line for a shift up the company ladder, and you can only imagine what that prospect is doing for my self-esteem and confidence post-divorce. I'm drinking less and focused for the first time in months. You get the idea. So I'm not sure if you know how Zoom works, but unless the host sets a password, pretty much any Zoom user can jump into the call to either participate or, in some cases, disrupt it. But this is late April, and the fan of moronic YouTube kids hacking Zoom calls hasn't quite taken off yet. So generally speaking, anyone who jumped into the call was a company employee. A little box pops up stating someone's name. They can then switch their camera on and participate as well. So right in the middle of the Zoom call, same old thing happens. A little box pops up, and what we think it's like Adam from another branch popping in to talk numbers or something. Only, the name isn't anything we recognize. In fact, it's not even a name at all. It just has a series of letters and numbers that has a sound like hi, who just joined this new users and saying or doing anything. But we know they can hear us. I just assume we're waiting for them to load in or switch their webcam on or something. But we're left waiting in an uncomfortable silence for the longest time. And only when my head of department threatened to kick them from the card, they actually streamed the video. I didn't recognize who it was at first. But when I did, the sinking feeling of dread was indescribable. It was canine, only she didn't quite look how I remembered her. Instead of the cute bubbly features and shock of blonde hair, Kay looked like she lost a ton of weight, and the once glossy long hair had looked thin and greasy. And boss says something like, "I'm sorry, may I ask who just joined?" He tried to remain polite, but you can see how shocked and creeped out he is by what he's seeing. I mean, Kay looked awful, almost like she was dying. I should have acted quicker. I know that I should have just manned up and told my boss to kick her, that she was going to cause trouble. But on some level, I still cared about Kay. And seeing her in such a bad way was as upsetting as it was morbidly curious and horrifying. "Where you been?" she asked, using my real name. There was no denying it now. "I missed you so much. I haven't eaten. I haven't slept. I just need to know you're okay." "You know this girl?" one of my coworkers asked, but it was barely a question. It was more like an indictment. Like it was saying something must be wrong with me that I know a girl like that, and that somehow it was my fault. "She was in such a state in the first place, I don't think I have long left," Kay then went on to say, following up with, "I just wanted to say goodbye. But I wanted to show you something before I go." She backs off from the camera a little. At this point, I know that I should have just hung up her screen, something, but we all just couldn't stop staring. And honestly, I felt like I was in some kind of dream. Raising up her arm, and we could all see that she had cut four letters into her arm. The cuts looked like they were scabbing over, but still looked incredibly painful, swollen, and possibly infected. But despite the grainy webcam footage, we can clearly say with the letters spelled my name. Then poof, she's gone. She hangs up. There's a stunned silence for a moment before my boss says something along the lines of, "I think you should go check on your friend." Next thing you know, I'm kicked from the call. At this stage, she might have just messed up probably the most important meeting in a long time. But I'm honestly too angry, and in some ways, worried about her. I jump back into my Facebook account, only it's my turn to dig up as much information on her as I can. I spin the message over to a guy that happened to be tagging a lot of her photos, asking if he's seen or spoken to Kay in the past couple of days. And this is where things get really weird, because I find out that this guy is actually her boyfriend. Yep, her actual long-term boyfriend of 2 years. Walt tells me that Kay is fine and that she looked terrible because she's shooting a short horror movie for a community college course she's taking, one in which he's playing some kind of victim. By that time, I'm just stunned at how manipulative Kay is capable of being. She is willing to take a shot at ruining my career because I won't give her any attention. And she's actually unavailable. I'm so angry that I just think screw it and tell her boyfriend about everything she's doing. He legit knew nothing of all the harassment and confessions of love, actually thanks me, and tells me he'll be confronting her about it soon as she's home from college. I still have her blocked, but I figure I can check in with her soon-to-be ex-boyfriend. So how the whole thing went down? Look at this. Next time I talk to the guy, he's in the hospital. Apparently what I told him caused an argument that ended their relationship. Only the next morning, as they're leaving for work, she drives over him in her car. He rode a bike to work in the morning, whereas she drove, and this psycho decides she'd rather kill him than let him go. Guy got his hip and femur crushed and was seriously lucky not to lose his life. Pays arrest, and a couple of days later, the boyfriend passes information on to the media that she had been taken to a psychiatric hospital after a complete and utter mental breakdown.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I told the guy how sorry I was, wished him all the best, and honestly, that's the last time we spoke. An insane story. All true. All that drama. All that fear and suffering and worry because of someone I never even flirted with, even befriended outside of the game, barely even knew what she looked like or even cared. I just enjoyed playing games. That made me realize how crazy and delusional some people in the world are, and how someone online can completely destroy your life. Fortunately, I don't think my wife ever told her to voice layer about the messages Kay sent her. In the year after the fact, I get to see my daughter more often than some other divorced dads do, which is, thank God, a huge win for me. But despite all my efforts, I can't seem to quite get Kay out of my head. I'm slow to get back into the dating game, and it's honestly because I'm terrified that I'll meet another girl like her, because I might not survive another girl who's possessive, manipulative, or downright evil as Kay9 either physically or emotionally.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.